Aloha, aloha kako. It's been my privilege to worship with you this morning. I was looking at some of the sermons. It's been 2 years since I preached here. One of the reasons I keep sermons is not because we remember the sermons that we hear, but sometimes you remember the jokes. So I need to be careful not to tell the same joke, right? Epule kako. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. This is a story about a man who worked so hard. He was so jealous about his wife because wife sits at home taking care of little children, two kids, no big deal, but often he wondered, she doesn't understand how hard he works. So one day he asked God, God, I want my wife to understand how hard I work. Therefore, just for one day, please change her into me. And I can take care of, well, little work at home that I can handle, so change me into her. Well, God granted the wish. So that morning, he, in the form of she, fixed the breakfast, sent the husband to the work, and got the kids ready and took them to school. And came home, house was in a mess, and I didn't even get to have breakfast by the time, and all the mess, and they put the things in the washer. By then, I suddenly remember, oh, nothing in the refrigerator, I need to run some errands. Went to run some errands, came home, then remembered, oh, I need to finish paying the bills, balance the checkbook. Oh, I didn't even have my breakfast yet. Oh, but then it's almost time to bring the kids home. Drove to the school, waited, brought kids home, and they came with heaps of homework. Why would they give homework? I don't understand. And they got the homework, and this, while munching on some snacks, now she wondered why she was putting on a lot of weight, you know, and helping with the homework. And it's almost time for them to wash up. And husband came home, and he sat there with the newspaper asking for some tea. And by the time to fix the dinner, and by the time they had family prayer, put the kids to school, they went to bed, and then morning he got up so early, on his knees, and Lord, I have underestimated my wife. Please, Lord, I can't wait for you to change me back. And the Lord said, oops, sorry, you have to wait 9 more months because now you're pregnant. Well, if God comes to your dreams, never wish for that. If God asks you, what do you want? It's free. What would be your wish? It's free. Friends, that's the kind of theme that we see today. If I want to give a title to my sermon, that would be a free purchase. It's an oxymoron, free purchase. But I'll explain that as we go along. But that's what it is all about in today's readings. Isaiah chapter 55, first 3 verses. I want you to draw your attention there. What Isaiah was talking about, he says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to waters. And have no money? Come, buy and eat. Oh, what is that? You have no money? Don't worry. You go to Safeway and Costco and say, I have no money. Can I buy? Good luck with that. And then it says, incline ear and come to listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Come. No money, no problem. But buy. How do you, what, if you, the moment you hear the word buy, it implies that you need to have something to exchange. But then Isaiah writes, no problem. Come and buy, no problem. If you have no money, no problem. So the implication that God gave to Isaiah is that eternal riches cannot be bought. Eternal riches cannot be bought. And that's what Jesus came to this world. Good news is that, yeah, he became our money. It's almost like free purchases like this. If somebody gives you a gift card, you take the gift card and buy what you need with the gift card. You didn't buy the gift card, but that's a free purchase. The gift card is Jesus. The gift card is Jesus. But Jesus is also not against physical needs. That's what we see in our gospel reading. Yeah, it's one thing for us to focus on the heaven and we know no thirst, no nothing to. But then as long as we live, we need to fend for our physical lives. Jesus was not against physical needs. When people were hungry, he did not say, I am the bread of life. Why do you need bread? When people were thirsty, he didn't say, I'm the living water. Why do you need water? Even at the canon, when he was at the wedding, when they ran out the wine, when Mary approached him, he didn't say, Mother, don't you know I'm the true wine? You don't need any of this wine. No, he provided them for their physical needs. Jesus was not against our physical needs. Life in abundance is the sign of Jesus' presence. Jesus was not against abundant life. In fact, he was the provider of the abundant life. Being abundant is not sin. The sin is in being selfish. The sin is in being, I have enough for me and I have nothing to worry about others. Today in our gospel reading, it's not that what we see. The context of our gospel reading is rather strange. Jesus heard that Herod killed John the Baptist. Now, talk about the wish. The daughter who danced, her wish was the head of John the Baptist. While the king had to keep his promise and granted her wish. So having heard that John the Baptist was killed unjustly, Jesus wanted to withdraw. Why do you think crowds followed him? Why do you think crowds followed him? Crowds had no, I don't think they really followed him to console Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we are very sorry to hear that your predecessor was killed. Oh, Jesus, would you like to tell us how to kind of confront Herod? They were not interested in that. They followed him so that they could have, their diseases will be healed. They have needs. And here is a man who promised abundant life, and that's why they followed him. And Jesus saw them hungry and told the disciples, give them something to eat. And they said, we have nothing. We have nothing. It is true that they have nothing. Isn't it true that when Jesus called them, they left their nets and followed them? See, that's an excuse that we all can give. I have nothing. I have nothing to do. I cannot do anything about it. How often we hear those things for ourselves? Jesus does not expect anything from us. Jesus knew that we had nothing. Jesus wants us to be channels, not the providers. Jesus wants us to be his hands, not He is the host. He provides, but he just wants us to be the channels, instruments in his hands. So, I want to warn you, don't hang up on the numbers. 5 fish, 2 fish, who cares? 5,000 people. You mean to say they sat there and counted all of them? The number came exactly 5,000? No. The message is small is sufficient. That's what it is. Even if it is small, if it is in the hands of Jesus, and it is sufficient. Small outside the hands of Jesus is not enough. But if it is in the hands of Jesus, it's enough. That's a message. So there is a parallel between feeding the 5,000 and the Lord's Supper. There is a parallel. Same thing happened. Jesus took the bread. What did he do? He gave thanks. And then he broke it and gave it to them. That's exactly what Matthew writes here. Feeding of the 5,000. Jesus blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to them. The only difference here is, and he said, this is my body. That's the only difference. Other than, see the parallel between feeding the thousands, feeding the hungry. In a sense, when we come to the Lord's table, that's what we need to remember. We don't come to eat to the Lord's table. We come to have what? Communion. We come to partake in the Lord's Supper. The symbolically, we don't come to Lord's table to satiate our physical needs. We come for our spiritual needs. And that's what happened at the feeding of the 5,000. It is their spiritual needs were met as well, because he blessed it and he broke it and he given to them. Then how many baskets were left? 12. It's almost like the disciples wanted some leftovers to take home. Exactly 12 baskets. What do you think of that? I can't think of anything else. But I can think of there are 12 tribes, right? 12 tribes of Israel. There is the 12 is a lot of symbolic. I don't want to go there. But basically, there is always enough for everybody. That's the message. If you invite Jesus, it doesn't matter how insignificant, how small it is. The moment they are in the hands of Jesus, it's sufficient. Because Jesus does not expect us to provide to people. Jesus expects us to become channels for his ministry. Yeah, have you heard this saying, God doesn't want our ability, rather God wants us to be available. God doesn't, if I am able, I don't need God. But God is not expecting for me to be able to do things, but rather God is expecting to me, am I available? So that God will make me able. So my dear friends, see the sequence. Herod killed John the Baptist, and Jesus withdrew himself. Sometimes I feel like here is a celebration of life. Jesus almost had a funeral service for John the Baptist right there. Celebration of life. That's the reason why we provide, why do you people provide food around the funerals? As a kid, I always wondered about, we are sad. Why are they feeding us? But I think in a way it is to say, life has gone, but our lives have to go on. Life has gone, but our life has to go on. So there is injustice. Therefore, you don't need to be starved, but respond in justice with justice, that is, providing to the needs of the people. Providing to the needs of the people. Because Jesus provided for us for free. So, my dear friends, the good news for us is you don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. It's free. It's a free purchase. The gift card is given to us in the form of Jesus. Only thing is gather around him so that he will provide for us. He called us, just like he called the disciples, feed the hungry, provide to this world. It is okay for us to say, Lord, I have nothing. Then the Lord will say, show me whatever you have, and I can say, I have myself. That's all I have, Lord. And then the Lord is going to bless you. Lord is going to bless me and say, you take my message to the people that never heard. Amen.